Hello, everyone, and welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Hi.
And Caitlin.
Hello.
And today we are talking about season 6, episode 14 of One Tree Hill, titled A Hand to Take Hold of the Scene, which, fun fact, is a song by Aucherville River. Great, no. Cool, whatever. Yeah.
I miss the standard
recognizable
emo
songs?
Bands.
Yes.
I miss songs that people knew.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So we open with Jack watching from across the street as the police remove the do not cross tape from his house and leave. And we hear a voiceover of Sam leaving Jack a voicemail telling him that she's worried about him because she hasn't seen him for the last couple of days. And then we get Julian knocking on the door and coming in to Brooke and Sam's place. And Sam is obviously just gotten out of bed. And he gives Sam her coffee order, which is black coffee with a ton of sugar. And he asks her about Jack and reminds her that, you know, he's going to need her after all this. And Brooke comes out and apologizes to Julian for not having things ready for their meeting about the costumes for the movie. She's been very overwhelmed by all the press since Xavier's arrest. And we find out that she's now tabloid fodder again because, you know, famous fashion designer thwarting a murderer is also, you know, tabloid fodder. Great. Cool. Yeah.
It's nothing she's not used to, though. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. She also says that she does kind of blame herself for Q's death because she should have gone to the police after her attack. And maybe that would have stopped Q from being killed. But Julian says you were attacked by a man in a mask. Even if you had reported it, I don't think it would have changed anything for Q.
Yeah. When did Julian's like, I don't know. He's great with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's all.
And what I like about it is it's very believable because we've spent the last like 3 or 4 episodes chipping away and peeling back his layers to realize, yes, Julian is a nice guy and he actually cares about these two.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our morally gray, wonderful man.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep, yep.
I'm not going to go all the way to wonderful yet, but yes, he is
okay.
Our morally gray, big, strong man. That's coming to help these two.
Yeah.
In case it hasn't been made clear yet, Julian is my favorite. Big Julian fan over here.
Yes. So after all that, Julian tells her that's fine, you know, work on it today and we can meet later tonight to discuss the costumes. And he leaves and Sam immediately says, "Ooh, you've got a date with Julian." And Brooke's like, "No, I don't. No, this is just a meeting." And Sam jokes, "Yeah, a meeting with your lady business."
Yeah. With his junk and your lady
business. Oh. Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
It's the most like
the way she says Samantha.
Yep. Yep.
Brooke gets called mom once and she's like, "Yes, I understand the
Samantha-ing.
I understand the assignment."
Yep. Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. Then we go to Peyton, who is looking in the mirror with a very large baby bump now. And I first went, "Wait, are we jumping ahead? How far have we jumped?" Turns out, no, she's just got a basketball under there. And she tells Lucas she's going to be very fat and pregnant on her wedding day. And that is so redneck.
I've talked about this several times on this podcast, but I hate it when actresses who are playing pregnant people touch their perfectly flat stomachs and be like, "Oh, look at life." I'm like, no.
Yeah. 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 It. But Lucas sees through that and says, "Okay, what's really wrong?" And she's like, "I don't know how I'm going to tell Brooke I'm pregnant," which then immediately cuts to Sam asking Brooke how she's going to tell Peyton about Julian. And Sam's like, "There's nothing going on." But Sam says that, you know, Julian thinks that Brooke is hot because he called her a hot fashion designer. And she's like, no, that just meant like really successful. And she's like, no, it meant hot. And you should, you know, do yourself a favor and dress hot tonight for your meeting with his junk and your lady business. It's great.
I love Sam so much.
Sam's great. Sam's great. Then Nathan sneaks into the house to surprise Haley and scares her and smooches on her some before Jamie comes in and is very excited to see his dad. And Nathan tells them that he's home for the entire weekend from practice. Yay, Nathan's home.
And Haley's like, go away, kid.
Right?
I gotta fuck
go
my
away,
husband.
I need to make you a sibling.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. Then Peyton comes over to Brooke's house and Sam immediately just spills the beans about Brooke and Julian liking each other. And then in the awkward silence that occurs after that, Peyton just says she's pregnant. It's peak comedy. I love every second of it. It's so good.
Because
but Brooke.
One of them says something about an awkward moment.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember who. And Peyton's just like, I'm pregnant.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. And Brooke begins to cry at that statement, not because of the reasons Peyton was concerned about, you know, because Brooke wanted to be a mom and all that kind of stuff. And Brooke's like, no. I'm crying because I just finished your second wedding dress with a hand-stitched corset for a skinny girl.
Skinny girl corset.
Uh-huh.
You know what, though? That dress is beautiful, and she will be able to sell it on clothesoverbros.com.
It's true.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And by clothesoverbros.com, I mean the ill-advised website she and Mouth made when they were 17, not
exactly.
Actual website.
Yes, not the actual Clothes Over Bros that is tied up in litigation with Victoria. Yes. Yes, so they celebrate Peyton being pregnant when Sam reminds them about Julian and Brooke liking each other, and Brooke shakes her head, no, I don't. It's fine. Everything's fine.
No, I would never. Him, too handsome. Too handsome and rich and famous for me. Me, right? Brooke Davis, like him? No, thank you. No.
Right. Too pretty and caring and kind.
Like, don't hold back on my account. I'm pregnant.
Right. Yeah. Then Millie comes to Mouse apartment and he tells her that he packed up the rest of her stuff. And he says that, you know, he's mad at himself for driving her away, but he's also mad at her for what she did. And then he makes a really gross dig about, you know, yeah, I packed up all your stuff. I thought about giving it away. Like, you gave away your virginity. And she immediately tells him it was her virginity, not his. But he says that she was his. And then he says the other nasty thing, which is good luck telling Brooke about sleeping with Owen.
Yeah, I hate
now.
It all
now
this.
Let's dissect and beat the shit out of Mouth.
All right, first
it.
Number one, let's talk about the fact that Mouth also lost his virginity to somebody and immediately regretted it.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been a lot more sympathetic. However, and I said this last week. Or 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago when we talked about Millie's decision to sleep with Owen, about what an egregious overreaction it was.
Uh-huh.
Even if he is reacting poorly, generally speaking, I'm on Team Mouth here. Because she should not, like, yeah, he entertained the intern. She fucked someone else. Like, those are not the same.
This is, like, this has big, like, we were on a break vibes. Like,
and they weren't. That's the thing. Is, like, they weren't broken up. They weren't, like, she was just like, I'm upset about this.
Yeah.
But nobody broke up with anybody. She just walked out. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. Mouth is reacting poorly. He's being very awful to her, and I hate him for it.
Mm-hmm.
However, she fucked someone else.
It's the two wrongs don't make a right situation, yeah. Which is why
they
I don't like either
wrong.
One of them. And it's all just nasty and gross.
Yeah,
and I don't
it's
like
all
it.
Nasty, and they were both wrong. But, like, I understand why he's upset as he is, even if he's being mean to her. Not deleting a photo, fucking someone else. Not the same thing.
Yeah. I think, like, we love Mouth. Like, I love Mouth. I will just keep it to me. I love Mouth so much. But he has this tendency of when he is butthurt, he gets
mean.
Really, he gets real nasty.
Yep.
And I hate it. And we forgive
it's
it.
It's like
a
he
lot.
Doesn't know what else to do.
Yeah. It's like he blames... he blames everyone else. It's like classic nice guy stuff, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, but I'm a nice guy. I'm not in the wrong here, right? Like, and I understand, like, I agree with you that, like, this was a gross overreaction from Millie, but, like, Mouth is being gross at like, grosser, and I...
Yeah,
I,
his reaction sucks.
Yeah, like, I just don't
his know reaction how, absolutely sucks.
I don't but know also, how my, like, love for Mouth bounces back after this. Like, yeah. It's real bad for me.
Yeah, it's not great. Yeah. Then we go to Mia and Haley, who are working in the studio, when a very awkward and adorable Chase stumbles into the control room, and the engineer, who is just so nonchalant and not having his shit, it's kind of hilarious. He was just awkward, like, well, I was going to go talk to Mia, but she's busy, and he goes to walk away, and Mia sees him and says, Chase, and he's like, oh, hi, and he waves awkwardly, and the engineer's like, dude, she can't hear you. You got to push this button to hear to talk. So using the talk back button, Chase awkwardly asks her out, and then, says some other stuff, and it's adorable and hilarious, and I love it.
Wasn't his whole thing on the OC or Laguna Beach or wherever he's from, wasn't his whole thing like he's a cool guy? He was like, cool guy dating cool girl.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he just plays awkward so well. Uh-huh. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
It's very sweet.
Yeah. He's a better actor than he is a reality star.
Which is weird.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Given how Laguna Beach is probably, I'm pretty sure, scripted as well. It's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Then we go to Brooke and Peyton, and Brooke gives Peyton all of her samples from the Baby Brooke line that is still tied up in litigation with Victoria. And Peyton brings up Julian and tells Brooke that if she likes him, she shouldn't worry about Peyton at all. She's fine. Go get him.
Touch the junk.
With your lady business.
In a business-like manner.
Dear God.
Well, get him disrespectfully, Brooke. It's okay.
Yes.
Yes. Then we cut to the diner where Sam pushes Julian about liking Brooke when Peyton shows up and also comes to the same conclusion that Julian likes Brooke, because it's hilarious. She's like, so I hear you like Brooke. And he's like, no, I don't. And she's like, you're right. He does like her.
Yeah. I don't know why that man thought that he was going to be able to lie to somebody he slept with.
Exactly.
Right. About her best friend.
Exactly. Yeah. Then Sam blabs to Julian that Peyton is pregnant, and in the awkwardness, Sam just leaves.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, oops. Okay, bye. And Sam leaves, and Julian just says that he's very happy for Peyton and Lucas. And it's a bit awkward, honestly, but his phone rings to break up that awkward silence, and Peyton just says to him, you break her heart, I'll break your face.
Yep.
Perfect. Classic. Best friend response.
Yep. In Sam's defense, no one told her that people shouldn't know yet, and she's a teenager.
Exactly. Yeah. She's 15, 16, whatever
she is.
She's
a 15-year-old surrounded by 22 and 23-year-olds who are arguably more chaotic than she is.
Uh-huh.
And which is, wow.
Yeah. And, like, she's clearly, like, she's a foster child who's never had a stable home before and clearly probably does not know that it's like, hey, when you first find out you're pregnant, you don't tell people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Even though, to be fair, it sounds like Peyton doesn't know that either, because she said it's too early and then proceeded to tell everyone. So,
yeah. Haley figured it out because she's a mother.
Yes. We'll get to Haley's one, because that was great.
Yeah.
We'll get to that one. Yes. Then we go to Millie, who comes to Brooke's as Brooke is spiraling about Julian, as she might admit that she likes him. And she says, but she can't do that because, you know, you can't do something with your friend's ex. Which Millie just.
Can ya?
Well, you know. Dear God.
Since when?
At least she recognizes her own hypocrisy here.
Oh, yeah. No, she does.
Considering the Lucas of it all.
Yeah,
exactly. Millie then starts to cry, and she tells Brooke that she slept with Owen. Brooke immediately tells her to get out in, like, the most serious, like, Sophia Bush Brooke face, you know, she does when she's really mad and hurt. She's really quiet, just goes, get out. And Millie turns to walk away, but Brooke then comes to her senses and says, stop, hang on, wait. And she hugs her as Millie just profusely apologizes.
Yeah.
I think at that moment, Brooke saw the error of her ways and went, oh shit, wait, hang on. Mm-hmm. Oops, okay. Yeah.
Did I not just spend the last 48 hours trying to find someone else who told me something really devastating and then ran out? Maybe I should stop them this time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Also, there's a part of me that, like, almost read it as sarcasm, like, but then realized it's not, just the, like, get out. Wait, no. Uh-huh. You know, like, it felt like too fast of a turnaround for it to have been a serious get out, but I think your reading is more correct on it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was a very serious, because Sophia Bush only makes that face and goes to that low tone in her voice when she's actually when mad she's in the scene.
Furious.
Yep, sure. Yep, that's what that one is. Yes, then we go to Mia, who goes to the studio to see Haley, and she's freaking out because she needs help picking out an outfit for her date with Chase, because, you know, she didn't date on the road, contrary to what Haley thinks of, you know, singing sad songs to sad boys is going to get you dates. It doesn't. So Mia's very nervous and she keeps talking about an iron and, like, I don't even own an iron. What do I do?
Buy a steamer. Like,
put it in the dryer on tumble.
Hang it up while you're showering.
Right? Yes, yes. So while Mia's spiraling about an iron, Haley suggests that, you know, they should just go on a double date with her and Nathan, because Nathan's back in town and, you know, they can do that. And Mia's very thankful for the idea and says, yes, yes, please. Let's do a double date. Yay, let's go. Then Haley goes to Lucas's and completely tricks him into confirming that Peyton is pregnant. And it's hilarious.
Some best friend mind magic happening. Yep,
literally, because she's like, because Peyton told me, and he was like, wait, she wasn't supposed to tell anybody. She's like, aha, I knew it. You told me, haha. Yes.
Wait, she wasn't supposed to tell anybody, but hey, by the way, she also told Brooke.
Right? Yes. Yes, but then Haley then turns around and immediately says, you know, we'll offer to help with anything you need with the baby. And Lucas says, absolutely, the favor is there as well, with Nathan being gone. And she's like, great, now that you said that, can you watch Jamie and Andre tonight? And he was like, yeah, I guess. Okay, great, boys, come on in. And the boys are literally waiting in the wings. And yeah, you meant right now. She's like, yeah, okay, thanks, bye. And also, Nathan fed them cake, so they're on a sugar high. Have fun, bye.
I did kind of assume, though, like, so this is how much I pay attention while I'm watching the show, obviously, but I didn't realize the date was tonight, and I'm like, oh, Haley's giving Lucas the boys so she can fuck her husband. That is also my one track mind whenever Haley and Nathan are together. I'm like, someone get this child out of here because these two need to fuck right now.
You are the biggest wing woman for Nathan and Haley ever.
I just, you know, they're both very hot and I just want them. Yeah.
You just want the two really hot people to fuck.
Yeah. I just want them to have business meetings all the time.
With their drunken lady business. Okay, yeah, great. Cool. Absolutely. Cool. Dear God. Okay. Great. All right. Yep. So then, but it's my favorite thing ever, 'cause it just, it very much is like, okay, Lucas and Haley are acting like 22-year-olds, and then Jamie and Andre come in, and they're very much acting like 5-year-olds. This is the most hyperactive and fun I think I've seen those two actors ever be.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because when you're going to tell these, like, you know, these children that, like, you get to have a day on set where you just get to play around and have fun, of course they're going to act a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you mean we don't have to talk about death or dying or anything traumatic? You mean we get to have some fun?
Or...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It tracks. Then Brooke goes to see Mouth and prefaces her words by saying, I love you. You are one of my best friends, but you're an idiot for even thinking about doing anything with Gigi. And she says that he has a right to be upset, but Millie lost two of the most important things to her, and she can only get one of them back. And Mouth says he can't decide if everything can go back to how it was. But Brooke says, you know, he can make that decision. And if not, he needs to think if he really does love Millie. All the while, they're throwing darts at a dartboard with Owen's face on it. And it's kind of great.
Yep. We hate Owen. Yay!
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
My favorite part is you know that Malph got that headshot from work.
Oh, yeah. He totally did. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. I like the scene with Brooke and Malph. It's very much like best friend talking like, dude, this is all very messed up. You can fix this if you want to. You have to figure that out, though.
Yeah. It's like you can feel the history these two characters have, mm-hmm. you know, like from the way they're just, it's like casual, like physical, like, you know, it's, I do love this.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Malph wasn't so stupid.
Yeah. But I also like how Brooke handled it because she's talking about one of her best friends and one of her newer best friends who is also her person in business. And, you know, she depends on Millie for a lot. It's a very nice Switzerland way of calling Malph out and saying you're mm-hmm. a dumbass, but you know, figure it out.
Yeah. But I love you anyway. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Then we cut to Jamie and Andre jumping on Lucas's bed, and we get a wonderful callback from I think it was last season where Lucas says if you boys break that box spring on that bed, you're gonna be sleeping on the floor. And they say, come on. And so they jump off the bed, they come to the living room, and Peyton and Lucas have a bunch of stuff planned for them, which are movies, which the boys go, those are kiddie movies, macaroni art, which they are not impressed with, and then the best single board game ever, Mousetrap, and they are unimpressed by it, even though you know it took Peyton and Lucas an hour to set that thing up, because that's how long it takes to set up Mousetrap.
Yeah, but you set it up while you're playing it. They ruined half the game.
I was going to ask about that. Because I haven't played Mousetrap in a very, very, very long time, but like, mm-hmm. Is that not part of the game, is building it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
You just wanted to do it for dramatic effect.
Because not that anyone ever played Mousetrap correctly anyway.
Nope.
You
nope.
just set it up to watch it go.
No, like, or in my household, it was always, let's play Mousetrap. Wait, how long does this game take to play? No, thanks. Moving on.
Yeah.
And the boys are unimpressed by all three of those. And they're like, well, fine. What do you want to do? And it immediately cuts to Jamie dealing out cards for poker.
Tell me you were raised by a bunch of 22-year-olds without telling me.
Oh, no. He learned that from Nanny Deb. Please.
He learned that from Nanny Deb.
Nanny Deb or Grandpa Dan.
Or even better, Uncle Skills, Uncle Junk, and Uncle Fergie.
That's true. It was probably Skills.
Yeah, it was Skills, Junk, and Fergie.
Skills was the one who bought him that stupid little visor.
Yep, absolutely.
Yes. And that, Jamie packs they it in his that, overnight bag just in case. Always.
They bought that on their trip to the party store. That
was, yes. Yes. Then at Trick, Nathan and Haley come across a very overwhelmed Chase, who is still behind the bar because two bartenders called in sick, and it is karaoke night, as someone is very badly singing Finally by CeCe Peniston, and it's hilarious. And he is very worried if Mia is actually going to show up to their date. But she does, because he looks up and he sees her in her cutest little black dress and mm-hmm. the most slow-mo wind in the hair. She looks great.
She looks so good. I was looking very respectfully at her boobies because they look really good in that dress.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I was looking very respectfully. Chase.
So was Chase.
So was Chase. Yeah. I was Chase. I was Chase. I understood the female gaze mm-hmm. and where I was gazing at a female.
Yes. But she slow-mo walks to the bar, which takes a while because I think they cut to commercial between. But Chase immediately compliments on how good she looks. And she's like, thanks, it's called an iron.
No, which honestly is the most 18-year-old thing she could possibly say.
Really is. And he, you know, says how good she looks, but also tells her he has to kind of work a little bit. So is it okay if they hang around here? And she's like, that's totally fine. Great. Cool. Yes.
She say, just don't tell the manager I'm underage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And he's like, okay, sounds good. I'll put in a good word. Then we go back to Jamie, who cleans house with Lucas and even gets his watch off of him, which is hilarious. And they're like, what are we doing next? Cause they're like, aren't you guys tired? And they're like, no, we're not tired at all. And Lucas and Peyton just look scared shitless. They're terrified. Yep. It's fine. They don't know what
they're
in for.
What have we done by getting Peyton pregnant?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
What mistake have we made?
Yep. Going back to Trick, Nathan is beating Chase at arcade basketball, and Chase asks him to go easy on him to impress Mia, and Nathan's like, fine, I'll do you one better, and Nathan starts shooting baskets for Chase from across the game, and yes, Chase wins, and Mia is very, very impressed, and it's adorable and hilarious. And the girls also say they signed up for karaoke, and the boys are like, wait, isn't that like saying Kobe and LeBron are going to play, you know, basketball somewhere at a, you know, I don't know what they say, but they see like Kobe and LeBron.
Basketball.
Yeah, basically, literally.
Oh, basically a pickup game at the River Court.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. My brain just went, I don't know what's going on. then, yes. Then we go to Brooke, who has the best internal monologue ever out loud, of, you know, she's got all of the design, the sketches are ready for the meeting about the clothes for the costumes for the movie. The dim lighting is there just in case she's read this all wrong and this is not a date. And she also talks about the drink choices, which beer, friendly and inviting, wine means do me. And she's like, fine, hard liquor it is. When Julian gets there, he comes in and comments on how dressed up she is. And she makes an excuse like, I was just at a charity thing, blah, 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 blah. Did you want something to drink? And he's like, yes, I brought some wine, which if we remember class means do me.
Do me.
Yes. Yes.
He had wine in his satchel. I'm sorry. Uh-huh.
He had wine in his man bag. It's fine. He's such a little hipster.
It's I'm pretty sure I had that same bag in high school.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's just an LA boy. He's got business to do. He's got to carry his scripts and his business.
Because like he says at the diner when he gets ambushed by Sam and Peyton earlier, he's like, I really need to find an office.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the people at the diner would agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Seeing how he doesn't even drink coffee.
Yep.
Like what are you ordering at that diner every time you're there?
Tea.
Yeah.
As someone who also doesn't drink coffee, tea.
Okay, there we go. There we go. Then we go to Sam, who finds Jack on a bench at the pier and gives him some fast food, as he says he hasn't eaten in the last couple of days. And we find out that Jack has been evading child services. Great. Then we go back to Trick, and we find out as it's karaoke, you know, and apparently it's Fergie, or is it Junk? I can't remember which one it is.
It's Junk.
Thank you. Is apparently emceeing the karaoke. Great. Cool. Good job. And we find out that Haley and Mia actually signed up Nathan and Chase for karaoke. Perfect. Not Perfect. Them.
But also, can we talk about the fact that he introduces Chase as Chase, the new bartender? Like, he did not go to fucking high school with this man.
Yep, exactly.
That is one thing.
They weren't in the same friend group per se, but they were in the same peripheral friend
group.
They
were in the Venn diagram of friendship that is there. Yes.
Like, the man dated Brooke, aka the love of Mouth Life in high school. Junk absolutely knows that guy's name is Chase Adams.
Yep. And also, Mia is on a double date with three people who went to high school together.
Mm-hmm.
And no one brings up the fact, oh, we went to high school with Chase. No one brings up that.
They don't talk about that at all. It's hilarious. So Mia has no idea. It's great.
Oh. Or if she knows, it occurred off camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. But so Nathan and Chase karaoke to the seminal rap classic Bust a Move, which is also intercut by Peyton setting up karaoke for Andre and Jamie, who also do Bust a Move. And it's adorable because we get intercut with scenes between the two young boys dancing and rapping to the two big boys playing and dancing and rapping.
And Nathan and Jamie have all the same dance moves.
It's true. They literally do. They literally do.
The best direction choice this television show has ever made.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It's great. It's fantastic. Yes. So then they cut to commercial and come back with Jamie and Andre tackling Lucas a la Godzilla movie down to the bed as he shouts for help. And Peyton organizes a game of hide and seek for the boys. And as they're hiding, Peyton and Lucas both flop down on the bed exhausted. And Peyton tells Lucas he has marching orders. You have to go get me some ice cream. And he's like, but the boys, do we really give them ice cream? She's like, no. The ice cream is for me because I'm having cravings. And if mama's not happy, ain't nobody going to be happy.
okay, Peyton, you are 4 weeks pregnant. Please take a breath.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And she tells him she'll play hide and seek with the boys while he goes and does that. Great. Cool.
The number of times that I've babysat and played hide and seek for some goddamn peace and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
That is like, that is parenting / babysitting 101. You need some fucking peace and quiet. Yep. Play hide and seek.
Yep.
Yep.
Also, these two boys who have a history of running away, she did not give them any parameters. She did not. She just said, go hide. It's like they need some ground rules. They yes. are going
to them. That's the city away. Limits of Tree Hill.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also feel like when playing hide and seek, Jamie is absolutely the type of kid that's going to go crawl in the dryer.
Yes.
Because he absolutely. Knows he's small enough to fit.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Okay, then we get Millie, who comes over to Mouth's drunk, and she tells him she thought they had something special, but if he wanted just sex, she can oblige, and she happily will. So she starts to take her clothes off, but Mouth stops her, and then she gets sick and has to run into the bathroom.
And you see Mouth's face the entire time she's puking, and it's just...
Yep.
Yep. Anyway, it's real.
Then Brooke finishes her presentation for the costumes and says Brooke will be easiest to dress out of the bunch. And Julian jokes, is that because she was always naked in high school? And Brooke says, no, because I have all of her old clothes and you don't know her well enough to judge her. But Julian says, I think I kind of do because of the book. And he says, I read the book for Peyton, but I related to it because of Brooke.
Aww.
Also, they keep acting like she was in high school so long ago that, like, why wouldn't she still have her clothes? I still have clothes in my closet that I bought 4 years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like.
Yep.
I don't know why this is a surprise to Julian.
Because in this television show, 4 years is like should be the equivalent of like 15. Because remember, they're all adults now.
Mm-hmm.
Big heavy quotation marks.
Big heavy quotation marks with that adults, which is also why it's like very acceptable that Mia and Chase are going on a date because there's only 4 years difference between them.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's not weird this time. It's fine.
No, it's not weird because once you're both grown ass adults, for the most part, it doesn't fucking matter.
Nope.
Yeah.
Exactly. Then we go to Jack and Sam, who are still on the bench and talking about, you know, family services and how, Sam says it's probably going to be better than your brother living with your brother. And Jack says he at least knew what to expect with Xavier and the unknown could be worse. And she just, tells him that he's not alone in this and she holds his hand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, now that is an accurate depiction of what a relationship is like when you're 15.
Yep. Exactly. Like, hand-holding.
They're not getting married.
Nope.
What? Nope. What?
I mean, not yet.
Right.
We have the season finale to get through. It's fine.
God.
We still have 10 episodes left of this
exactly.
show.
Exactly. That's exactly. True. Who knows what could happen in 10 episodes. It's fine. Yes. Then we go back to Trick, where we hear first Junk and Fergie singing The Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston. Just... And while that is going on, Nathan is talking to Chase about the he's warning him about dating a girl on the road and just what to watch out for, you know. And my favorite thing ever, though, is he says, and if you ever hear her talk about Chris Keller, punch first and ask questions later.
Yep. Good rules.
Yep. Yes. So the boys are doing that. The girls are in the bathroom and Mia is entirely smitten with Chase and tells Haley that she's ready to fly solo on this date. So if her and Nathan want to, you know, bug her off, go ahead. Go ahead and leave. Yeah. So they leave the bathroom and Haley comes in and says, you know, we should probably get going because I just got a phone call from Jamie and he's kind of homesick. And Nathan's like, really? And Haley's like, no, that's the best excuse I got. Mia just wants to be alone with Chase. Okay, bye.
Way to be cool about it, Haley.
I love
chaotic. Tell me you've never had to wing woman for your best friend without telling me.
I love this chaotic, like, funny, jokey Haley so much.
Yes.
Same.
Yes. This is the Haley who doesn't have to worry about having a child or a job or anything else. She's 22 years old and awkward as hell, and it's hilarious.
Yep.
It's great. Yes. Then Lucas comes back home with Peyton's ice cream and, even better, walkie-talkies to entertain the boys and also monitor the boys at the same time.
So if they do decide to leave the perimeter.
He has a way to get a hold of them. Yes, yes. And Peyton asks him if they're going to be okay at this parenting thing. Just as they hear over the walkie-talkies, Andre tells Jamie how cool his Uncle Lucas and Ann Peyton are.
Cute.
It's very cute and it's very sweet. Then we go back to Brooke and Julian, who are now talking on Brooke's couch at this meeting. Heavy quotations.
Candlelit, wine-soaked meeting.
Yes.
There is no lighting in that house that is not flame-produced.
Exactly. Yep. And we find out that Brooke's talking to Julian, you know, about her mother and all of that, and they very much relate to each other about having disapproving, horrible parents.
Aw, trauma bonding!
Yay! It's fine.
I do like that they gave Brooke someone who understands her in that regard. Because that was, we've said a lot, like when we talk about Brooke and Nathan's friendship and how much we love it because they get each other in a way that the others don't.
Yep.
So I'm glad that when they were developing someone who at least temporarily at minimum is going to be a romantic interest for Peyton, for Brooke, they chose somebody who understands where she's coming from.
Yep.
And way to cover all of those bases, Caitlin. I'm really proud of you there.
You're welcome.
Yep. I mean, and also the fact that just in the last scene, it spoke volumes of the fact that he said, you know, he read The Unkindness of Ravens for Peyton, but he related to it because of Brooke.
Came for Peyton, stayed for Brooke.
Yep. Yeah. Then Haley and Nathan come to pick up Jamie and Andre, where Haley knocks on the door and Jamie answers. And she's like, what are you still doing up? And he just shushes her and says, we just put them down about an hour ago. And it pans to Lucas and Peyton curled up asleep on the couch.
Also, he has chocolate all over his face. So he either ate all of those chocolate coins or he ate Peyton's ice cream.
Yes.
And I don't know which is funnier.
Yeah, probably both.
I think the ice cream's funnier because you can imagine Peyton waking up later.
Wanting the ice cream and it not
wanting
being
ice cream.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then we go back to Mia and Chase, who go into Red Bedroom Records, go into the studio, and they're talking about living their dreams. As Mia reveals, you know, it's not what it all seems, but she loves it. Chase agrees on that and offers to take her home, but she says she's actually going to stay and work a little bit as she's inspired. And Chase apologizes for having to work on their date, but Mia says she still had a great time. They give an awkward first date hug as he leaves to let Mia work. He then turns around in the control room and uses the talk back button to ask her out again and says that he probably should have just kissed her then. And she nods about that and he walks back in and they smoochy smooch.
Everyone gets smooches this episode.
Yep.
Did I ever tell you guys? So I used to live on a really busy street, and there was like a bar, like the Barcade in town was across the street from my apartment, and it was the best people watching. I watched a first date end where it ended right outside my window. I had my window open. It was like spring. It was just amazing. But so it was obviously like a Tinder date, first date, whatever. And the girl's like, so this was fun. And he's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm really feeling it, though. And she goes, oh, okay. And then he hugs her and literally sprints down the road, sprints away from her.
Oh, my God.
And this awkward first date hug reminded me of that moment. Just the like.
I miss that tiny apartment and the people watching that you had on that, because it was such a good little apartment with the best location.
Yeah. But no, awkward first date hugs are hilarious. And this was like chef's kiss. Perfect.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of first dates, we go back to Brooke and Julian, who are continuing their non-date on that.
Not a date.
Candlelit couch, wine filled. Yeah.
It's just a romantic business meeting, bro.
With his junk and her lady business. Yep. But Julian says that he should leave, but this was very nice. And he goes to leave and she asks him what it was. this was. And he says, well, we should just call it what it was because anything else gets complicated. And then he goes to leave, but turns around and then they each talk to each other about how this has to be business, as they both say it would be really inappropriate. And then they talk some more, and then they just smooch.
I don't know if I would call that talking to each other more than it was talking at each other.
Yeah, they were just saying words at each other, just getting closer and closer until their lips touched. It's fine.
Yeah, like they were trying to talk themselves out of kissing each other.
It wasn't going to happen.
It didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
She knew she was going to kiss his face the second she put that dress on.
Yes, yes, yes. Then
the second he brought the wine over to drink. That's
exactly, exactly. Then Millie wakes up in Mouth's bed and she apologizes. And he says he knows, and she tells him that, Brooke needs a buyer in New York for costumes for the movie. And she thinks that she should go. And Mouth says that might be best.
I'm so disappointed in both of them.
Right?
So disappointed.
It's like, insert the Tyra Banks gif. We were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
Yes.
I have never yelled at a girl like this before.
Such a problematic thing. It's fine. It's fine. God, awful.
What, awful of Top Model?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
God. Anyway, we could have a whole podcast about that.
Yep.
About just, yeah.
Anyway, then we go to back to Sam, and she tells Jack that she should get home. And Jack says it must be nice having a home. And Sam offers to talk to Brooke, but Jack just flatly says, my brother attacked her, and you got a good thing going there. I don't need
Smart
to ruin
boy.
It. I don't need to ruin it. And Jack says he probably won't see her for a while, but it doesn't mean she cuts him off and says that, you know, foster situations work out sometimes and things are going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aww.
Then Lucas, still asleep on the couch with Peyton in his arms, is woken up by Nathan over the walkie-talkie. I forgot to preface this from the first part. When he gets the walkie-talkies, he says how much he always wanted to play walkie-talkies with a brother. Okay, great. Prefacing that, Nathan's talking to him on the walkie-talkie. They talk about how Nathan found out Lucas is going to become a dad, and how, you know, Lucas is like, I don't know how you do this. And he's like, you see that girl next to you? She's your partner with all this, and you're going to lean on her a lot, and you're going to lean on each other, and it's going to be great. And Peyton then wakes up and asks him what's going on, and Lucas just says he's playing walkie-talkies with his brother.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know. I know. And he assures her that their kid is going to be great, and they're going to be just fine as parents. And then it goes to Nathan, who, over the walkie-talkie, tells Jamie he loves him. And Jamie says, Roger that, over and out, Daddy. And the episode ends.
Oh,
it's so cute. So what did we think of this love-filled episode?
Everyone's getting smooched, and I'm here for it.
Except for Mouth and Millie. It's fine.
But you know what? Fuck both of them at this point, you know?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's such a good episode. It's a nice palate cleanser. We needed after the dark shit that happened last episode.
Yeah.
Honestly. We needed.
There was trauma, so now we need to make you laugh.
Yeah, we need a romp. Here you go.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is as close as to a romp as we've had in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but not only that, it wasn't just like a romp that was just there for the sake of being a romp. It also continued the plot.
We moved plot. We moved a lot of plot.
Yeah,
they had to make up for that one. Costume drama episode that had no plot regards at all. Just
correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
I did when Peyton and Luke were first introducing the games and activities they had set up for the boys. That was a pacing moment. It was so awkward. It was so painful. I'm like, if this is what the whole episode is, I can't.
Well, and it didn't help that the boys the entire time were like, why are you talking funny?
Right. Yeah.
What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Stop.
Like, who is this for? This is not for us.
Right. We're five and we're acting like we're 15.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like, Jamie learned a lot from Sam. It's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jamie knows how to play poker. He doesn't want to play fucking Mousetrap.
Right.
Jamie doesn't just know how to play poker. Jamie is great.
Jamie knows how to win poker.
Right.
I am 34 and I can't even do that. So
I've never played poker once in all of my 33 years of life.
Yeah.
Not even once.
It's not great. You're not missing anything.
I mean, I didn't think I was.
I mean, it's a fun time if you're playing with friends, but yeah, other than that, it's fine. Yeah, I loved it. I love the Brooke and Julian of it and the will they, won't they, which we know they were going to anyways, because they're not going to talk about a meeting with their lady business and junk this much if they weren't going to actually, you know, at least have them smooch.
Yeah.
Mia and Chase are awkwardly adorable.
Yeah.
They're so good.
I mean, that's how we describe both of those characters separately. So it kind of makes a perfect amount of sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think we got an upgrade here when we traded Owen in for Chase.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Sorry, patrons of Trick, you got a crappier bartender, but we got a better character. Sorry, not sorry.
He'll figure it out eventually. He'll learn how to make a Long Island. Until then, just order shots. You'll be fine. Right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're fine. Exactly. Bottle beer, glass of wine, and shots. You're fine.
Yep.
You're fine. Yes. Lucas and Peyton are great with the kids. It's so cute. It's great. And it just, it feels like we said, it's a romp, but it also feels like they're all acting age appropriate.
Yeah. For once.
For once.
They have to give us one of those each season, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they're actually 22, 23 years old. Remember this. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to do bad karaoke, cheat at basketball, arcade, and make lame Junk excuses to leave.
Junk and Fergie singing Greatest Love of All to each other.
They're life partners, right? We're just putting that out there. Junk and Fergie are like,
they went to their senior prom together.
Not intentionally, but yeah, no, they did. It's fine. God.
I need a whole season dedicated to that love story, please.
To Junk and Fergie?
Yes.
Oh God. I'm sure
gay couple in the South in the early 2000s. Yes, yeah, sign me up. I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Who share the third bedroom and the three bedroom apartment that Mouth and Skills have? Yep, they have bunk beds. That's canon.
They have fucking bunk beds.
So many jokes about top bunk and bottom bunk. It's fine. It's fine. So many. It's great. Seeing a Whitney Houston classic at karaoke night at Trick. It's fine.
Yep.
It was cute. It was great. It was a lot of fun. I love this episode.
So good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for the second time this season, an episode ended and I'm like, I could watch another one. I didn't have to, so I absolutely didn't. But
given how two episodes ago you wanted to turn it off after a minute and 45 seconds in.
Listen, that was because they are needlessly torturing a character and me, and it felt personal. It's like, no. We're not here now.
She's very happy. She just wants ice cream.
Listen, don't we all? Mm-hmm.
I almost bought some at the grocery store today.
Oh,
that sounds good. Actually,
I might. Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
Ice cream might have to happen right now.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Anything else we want to add about this episode? Probably we all really, really liked it.
No.
And it was great.
It was great. It was sweet. Everyone's smooching and I'm here for it.
Yep. Yep.
Let's go eat ice cream.
Let's go get ice cream.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. Rate us 5 stars. Leave a good review. All that good stuff with the algorithms. Yay. Social media, we're everywhere at On Wednesdays Pod. All I can think about is ice cream. So we'll see you guys next week for another fun-filled episode of On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill. We'll see you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Let's go get ice cream.